Yeah, the shaila that we're going to discuss is whether an ovel should be davening farnomet over Chanukah. Okay, so, and there are various minhagim. So just to take it in context, we've got various levels of simcha, if you like, in our lives. And a day which is mole simcha is not going to be dampened by having an ovel standing in front of the tzibur saying Kaddish, davening farnomet saying Kaddish. He reminds us, that's why the ovel doesn't daven on Shabbos and doesn't daven on Yom Tov, because he reminds us of the end of life, he reminds us of sadness, he reminds us of Avelus, and therefore on the Shabbos or Yom Tov he doesn't daven farnomet. And the question is, what about days like Chanukah? So let's go through the stages. We've got days which are pure chol. That's not a particular day of Simcha, any regular weekday, a normal weekday. Then we have days of Chol, when we don't say Tachdon, but it's only local. In other words, it's in this shul. So there's a bris, or there's a moil in shul who's making a bris today, or there's a chosn in the Beis HaMedrash. So that's something local. Everybody else is saying Tachdon, but we're not saying Tachdon. The next level up, if you like, is when the day is a little bit of a Yom Tov.
There are some places where the whole town, Cracker, for example, if one Beis HaMedrash didn't say Tachnun.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Martin's telling us that there were places, or there maybe are places, where the entire town doesn't say Tachnun if there's one shul. Or one place where there's a bris milah.
Right.
Says that was the minig of Krakow and the minig of the Maharal in Prague. Okay. I think there are lots of people who would like to know about that. Yeah. And today can get around. The news can get around very quickly. We don't have any problem. Let me know when the speaker comes. Yeah. So the next day is the next level up, if you like, is when there's chol. It's a chol day. There's no tachnun, but the entire tzibur doesn't say tachnun. Yeah. So a day when an entire tzibur does not say tachnun, but we don't say halil either. So no tachnun, but no halil. What are those days? Can you give me some examples? A day when there's no tzibur, the whole tzibur, nobody says tachnun. Yeah, but there's no halil. There's loads of them. Okay, my time's up. Rabbi Levi's here. I'll just tell you briefly. Lag Boimah, Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Av, Isru Chag, Tisha B'Av, Purim Cotton, Purim Godel, and Erev Pesach. Okay, we'll carry on tomorrow. What? The old days.
Start to the Terraway, Northwest London. Wednesday, Sikta, Hanukkah, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Shlita, Hanukkah theme. District Terraway, the spot of Manasseh. Schus Hashivun Vachayolim, Sheyachsu Levotahem, Shalom Yom Heiro.
Amen. Good morning. Chodesh Tov, Hanukkah Sameach.
I think I say this most times, but I don't remember what we have or haven't said in the past, and I figure if I don't remember, neither do you. The video might. But Chazar is always amazing. It's the ikker. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I was in a boarding school in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And I admittedly wasn't the best of students. I won't tell you any stories now, but I wasn't considered a very model student. And the Rebbe gave us Mar Mekaymas, and I went through and I came to him an hour later and I said, Rebbe, I'm finished. He says, you went through everything? I said, I went through everything four times. He said, perfect, now you're ready to start. I said, what do you mean? He opens up the Gemara. He says, every single page in Shas, 2,711 pages, when you open up any page in Shas, you look at Rashi, there's four lines, and then it gets skinnier, it gets wider, it gets thinner. Every single page in Shas, the way that they printed it was, there's four lines of Rashi that are the same size, and then it changes. Why? He said, because you need to review something four times, and now you're ready to start. That's why every page in Shas, you're going to learn Gemara, four lines of Rashi, and then it gets thinner, sometimes wider, bigger, that, whatever it is, always four lines. You chazer something four times, and now you're ready. Something to remember. It's Rosh Chodesh. So before we get to the Chanukah theme, we're just understanding what is Rosh Chodesh a little bit. I remember I was giving a talk all about the importance of wearing tefillin. A bunch of students that weren't wearing tefillin. This is when I was teaching in Eretz Yisrael, so you're going back 16 years ago, and I was talking about the importance of wearing tefillin. I was just preparing with a bar mitzvah boy, and we were discussing. I said to him, what's the most important part of the bar mitzvah speech? Anybody? What's the most important part?
Thank you.
The thank yous. I said to him, don't be worried. How long do you want to speak for? 7 minutes? First you write out the thank yous. They're usually 2, 3, 4 minutes. You need 3 minutes of Torah. Not so, they don't have that much pressure. Not so complicated. And I said to him, you look at the tefillin, and we know the tefillin on one side is a shin. On the other side there's another shin. But what's the difference between the two shins? One has three branches, one has four branches, and some will tell you it's the avot and the imahot, the fathers, the mothers, three and four. I once heard a beautiful idea. What's the gematria of shin? 300. You have another shin, another 300, that's 600, but you have an extra branch. What letter does that look like?
Vav.
Vav. 606. Everybody has the Shem Mitzvot B'nai Noyach. 300, 300 is 600, an extra vav, 6.
And the 5.
606. Everybody has 7 mitzvahs b'nei noyah. Everybody has 7. We as Jews have an additional 606. That takes us to 613. You want to include the 7 derabbanans, the last one of which is Hanukkah that we're on now, that's 620 Keter. The gematria of Keter of crown is 620. And I said to this bar mitzvah boy, how many parashiyot, how many paragraphs are there in the tefillin?
Four.
Shema v'hayam shamoa kadosh li v'haya ki aviyacha. This is interesting. Tefillin shel Rosh, how many pieces of cloth are there?
Four.
Shel Yad, how many pieces of cloth are there?
One.
But it's the same four parashiyos. Same four paragraphs. Why is it that tefillin shel Yad has four paragraphs and four pieces of parchment, and Tefillin Shel Rosh has four paragraphs, four pieces of parchment, Tefillin Shel Yad has just one? Says the Ben Ish Chai something beautiful. You have 5 senses. You can see, you can smell, you can taste, you can hear, and you can touch. On your head, you have 4 senses: sight, smell, taste, and hearing. So the Shel Rosh has 4 pieces of cloth. On your hand, what do you have? Just one piece. Just one sense of touch. So the Shel Yad has one piece of cloth, and you start your day saying thank you to Hashem for the most basic functionalities. I can see, I can smell, I can taste, I can hear, I can touch. That's the most important thing. They then ask, so if the Shel Rosh, the Chayr, is more important, how come you put on your tefillin first? It's very simple. I said to them, you're being bar mitzvah. When we accepted the Torah, what do we say? Naseh. Shel Yad, and then Nishma, and then we get to the Rosh, then we understand. First we do. And I'm giving the importance of wearing tefillin this year, 15 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, 16 years ago. And then the next day was Rosh Chodesh. And we daven Shachrit, and then right before Musaf, we take off our tefillin. I thought to myself, I don't understand. Maybe don't put them on special. But take them off, surely your davening will only be enhanced. If you're wearing tefillin, why take them off? And one answer, we just said, at least Nusach Sfarad and Nusach Edut Mizrach, what do you say as the Kedusha in Musaf? Keter Yitinu Lecha. Hashem, you're the one who wears the crown. We take off our crown. Hashem's the only one right now wearing a crown. The tefillin is our keter. It's the completion of the 620 mitzvot, and we have that keter. Others answer that, no. Rosh Chodesh is like Chol HaMoed. It's a mini Yom Tov. We don't celebrate like they did back in the day, which we'll tie into Hanukkah in a minute. But it's this special Yom Tov. But we're here to discuss Hanukkah. We said Hanukkah theme. So, I remember I got a phone call. Actually the shir over here in Machzikei Hadas. This woman calls me up, says, Motzei Shabbat, we have a lady shir, can you come give a talk? We found a week that worked. If I'm available, I try and say yes. And I got a phone call Friday. Rabbi Levy, we understand you like to ask a lot of questions. I said, yeah. He said, it makes the ladies feel uncomfortable. Do you mind not asking any questions? I got up to speak over here, and I said, when I first came to London, I heard Rabbi Tatz, and he said, there's a term called education. We discuss, we figure stuff out, I ask questions, I often learn new things, hear interesting novel answers. I said, then there's another term called indoctrination. Indoctrination means, doesn't matter what you think, I'm going to decide, you now need to think this. I said, you ladies obviously would like to be indoctrinated. And I went on to ask a lot of questions that make them feel uncomfortable. But when we say Hanukkah, right, Hanukkah, what's the first thing you think of when we say Hanukkah? What would you tell me? Donuts. I appreciate your honesty. Remember, I was giving a talk one time in Hasmonee and girls, and it was Purim. And I said, when I say Purim, what's the first thing you think of? I was expecting drunk or dressing up. And I wanted to give a whole share all about why we get dressed up. And they were all like, Hamantashen. I was like, really? What about when I say Shavuos? And they all said?
Cheesecake.
I said Hanukkah, and they all said?
Donuts.
Even Rosh Hashanah, they were like, dip the apple in the honey. I'm like, Baruch Hashem, Yom Kippur is a fast. Although on the fast, all you think about is the food. But okay. Right? Hanukkah, we have donuts. What else do you think of when I say Hanukkah?
Dreidel.
I had a whole debate with my kids. They said to me last Shabbat, they said, how come when we were little we got presents and now we don't get presents? I said, when you were little, I didn't want you to feel bad. Everybody's getting presents and you don't. But now you're old enough. There's no makor for presents anywhere in the Torah, anywhere in the Gemara, anywhere in Halacha. I said, on the fifth night of Hanukkah, some people had a custom. They gave out money. Geld. That's where the trochel coins come from. Because the fifth night of Hanukkah can never be Shabbat. But otherwise, there's no source. And then my daughter says to me, can we do this year Mystery Maccabee? I said, what's Mystery Maccabee? They said, everybody picks a name out of the hat, and you don't tell anybody, and you buy them a present. Mystery Maccabee. I said, oh, the Secret Santa thing. They said, no, Mystery Maccabee. I said, that's goyish. It's not, no, we're not doing Mystery Maccabee. It's just a different name for this goyish secret thing. Right? That they maybe they do in the office parties. I said, right, so some people will say presents. When I say Hanukkah, what do you think of?
Menorah.
Miracles, lights. And we all know why. Because when the Bet HaShmonaim, otherwise known as the Maccabees, what does Maccabees stand for? When the Maccabees walk into the Bet HaMikdash, they want to light the menorah, but they had a big problem. What was the problem? There was actually plenty of oil. What was the problem with the oil? It was Tameh. They went around opening up the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Now maybe it's just the way my brain works. If I'm a Greek soldier, for some reason they don't want to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They're okay with the beautiful building. We don't want to destroy beautiful things. If I walk in and I pick up a jug of oil, what am I going to do to this jug?
Smash it!
I'm picturing, you ever walk in the old city, you see those, I call them the genie lamps. The little pottery things. I'm picturing those are the jugs. You come in, you smash it. They went around, they're not smashing it, and they're just like opening up seals. What's pshat? Smash it, destroy. What, you're going to go around opening up the jugs? Why are they just opening up the seals? They don't have anything better to do? Furthermore, let's ask just a simple question. We know Hanukkah, oil, menorah, latkes, donuts, all about the Nes Hanukkah, that Hashem made the oil last 8 days and eight nights instead of one. If I ask you, why did Hashem make this miracle? Think about open miracles in Jewish history, where Hashem changes nature. What's an open miracle in Jewish history? Kriyas Yamsuf. If Hashem doesn't split the sea, what happens to the Jewish people? We get killed by the Egyptians. What other open miracles are there in Jewish history? Shemesh Begivon Dan, Hashem stops the sun, because that was the day they had to win the war. If the sun sets, what happens to the Jewish people? We lose the war and we're gone. What other open miracles are there in Jewish history? Matan Torah. If we don't have the Torah, there's no such thing as Yiddishkeit or Judaism. What other miracles? The man falling from the heaven, the Be'er Miriam, if we don't have water and food to drink in the desert 40 years, what happens to the Jewish people? Gone. If Hashem doesn't save Avraham Avinu from the fire, what happens? There's no Yiddishkeit, there's no Judaism. It seems to be, when does Hashem make open miracles? Because without them, no such thing as Jews. Let's say the oil doesn't last 8 days and eight nights. It only lasts 1 day and one night. What happens to the Jewish people? Nothing. So why does Hashem make this nes? What's the purpose? What's the point? They had already won the war. They're in the Beit HaMikdash. The Greeks are gone. Victory.
To me, it's the whole type of
car. Anyway, it's Tomo Hutra B'tzibor. They could have made the wicks thinner. They could have put less oil. Another question. Who's the Rav of your shul?
Greenberg.
Rabbi Greenberg?
Yeah.
Rabbi Greenberg? Freshwater?
Weinberg.
Rabbi Weinberg. Imagine there's a meeting of Rabbanim. Right? And they get a few Rabbanim, a few Dayanim together, 13 Rabbanim. And all good meetings happen at night, obviously, because that's just the way it works. And they light some tea lights. And Rabbi Weinberg, and Rabbi Greenberg, and Rav Freshwater, they have a meeting and they say the anti-Semitism in London has gotten crazy, it's appalling, we need to do something. And they decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to war versus the British Army. Good idea? No. Do they have any military training? Do they have any guns, tanks, airplanes? No. But they decided this is the best thing to do. And they go to war versus the British Army. A week goes by, 2 weeks go by. They come back victorious. These Rabbanim, they just defeated one of the world powers. And they come back to their meeting, and those tea lights that they lit 2 weeks ago, the tea lights are still lit. Nice. What's going to be the front page of every website and every newspaper? Rabbis defeat British Army, tea lights stay lit. What's going to be the front page of every newspaper? Rabbis defeat British Army. Is the tea light thing going to even make the news? Or not? It's insignificant in comparison to the fact that a handful of rabbis. Why is the focus of Hanukkah oil and miracles and donuts and latkes and menorah? Nobody said Chashmonaim or Maccabees. That's not. You open up the halacha and it's all about lighting. When you light, how you light, there, you're traveling. Yes, the focus of. We mentioned in Alan Nisan, but otherwise. Why is the focus of Hanukkah the oil of all the Chagim? Hanukkah is the longest. Sukkah is Pesach only 7 days. Rosh Hashanah 2 days, Shavuot 1 day. This is the longest of all the Chagim. Which you would assume means it's the most important. Why does Hashem make this nes? Why is that the focus? Why are they going around opening up jugs? So we need to take ourselves back 2,200 years. What was the ideology of the time? Hellenism. What is Hellenism?
Physics.
Obsession of the physical. Who makes the original Olympics? The Greeks. I found it very ironic. I don't know if that's the right term. When we head over here, I never knew about it. In 2012, we had the Olympics. And after the Olympics, they have another thing I had never known about called
Paralympics,
where you have these people with disabilities in wheelchairs, missing limbs. And it's unbelievable, the perseverance and the resilience. But I thought to myself, if the original Greeks would be watching this, they'd be rolling in their graves. Because it defeats, what's the purpose of the Olympics? Who's the strongest? Who's the biggest? Who's the best? Who runs the fastest? Who throws the javelin the furthest? And these guys, they can't even run. They're in wheelchairs. The original Greeks would be so upset. It defeats the purpose. I also find it ironic that we have people from all over the world. And they go, quite often it's in Eretz Yisrael, although this year I think some of it's in London. And they have football and they have basketball, all these different things. And what do they call these games? The Maccabiah games. It's the opposite of what the Maccabees were all about. But okay, irony in its... What were the Greeks all about? Who's the strongest? Who's the biggest? Beautiful. Every one of them had... Who's the most beautiful? Every one of them, you go into the Louvre, to the Greek exhibit, everybody's got a six-pack. Right? I used to have a six-pack, but I upgraded to the keg. Right, everyone's got a six-pack, everyone's got big muscles, and beautiful. What they considered beautiful 200, 300, 400, 500 years ago, you look at the portraits, and they have people that are very heavy. No six-packs. The kings, the queens, most people were poor, most people were stick-thin and dying of hunger. And it was a sign of wealth and beauty to be heavy. That's not what we consider beautiful. What do we consider beautiful here in 2023? What the Greeks consider beautiful. The six-pack. Beautiful. Six-pack is when somebody works out and exercises and they have six boxes on their chest. And the Greeks had an obsession with the physical. Now we know, obviously, we say in the Alan Nisim, L'Hashkicham Toratach, they want us to not learn Torah, to forget the Torah. But they picked three main things. What's the three main things they picked?
Shabbos,
Bris Mila, and Rosh Chodesh. Now I can appreciate why they would get rid of Brit Mila, because if you believe the body is perfect and amazing, why would you ruin it by having a circumcision? I can appreciate that. Why of all things did they pick Rosh Chodesh and Brit Mila? Excuse me, and Shabbat? I would have thought Pesach is much more important. Pesach is where we pass on, we got to Lebincha, talk about how we left Mitzrayim. I would have thought that's much more important than Rosh Chodesh. Why are they picking Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat? So we don't celebrate Rosh Chodesh nowadays like they used to, but it used to be a special day, nobody went to work, and they would have meals and everything. Shabbat. They come to the average Jew and they say, Mr. Frankel, what's the holiest day of the week? What are you going to tell me? Shabbat, Shabbos. Can you prove to me that Saturday is any different than Tuesday? Can anybody prove it?
Chavod.
Eat kegel. Have your kegel on Tuesday.
Why not?
You can have it every day. I can't see your Purim, right? Have kegel every day. Can anybody prove that Shabbos is different inherently?
No.
You could decide not to go to work on Sunday or Tuesday or Friday. But can you prove that Shabbos is different?
Logically, no.
Kedusha, holiness. They didn't believe in holiness. It's not something physical, that's mathematic, that's scientific, that has physics proving that it's different. It's another day of the week. Who are you serving? Who are you worshiping? Who are you davening to, said the Greeks? Hashem. Can you prove Hashem exists? They believe their gods were physical. Jupiter, Poseidon, Zeus. Zeus comes down, he goes with a woman, he has a child called Hercules, that's a demigod. They believed in everything was physical. They come to the Yidden and they said, they didn't have a problem with Jews. They weren't Hartman or Hitler. They weren't looking to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful building. We love beauty. What was their problem? Be normal. Be logical. Use your brains. None of this heebie-jeebie business. You wake up in the morning. What's the first thing you do after Moed Ani? First of all, you thank Hashem. What do you thank Hashem for? Shechezarta bi nishmati. Thank you for returning my soul. What do they say? Can you prove you have a soul? Can you prove you have a neshama? Shabbat, you got a neshama yisera. Can you prove that you have a neshama in the first place?
No.
What's a neshama yisera? You have two hearts, two souls. What does that even mean? Just be logical. Your name's Cohen or Schwartz or Goldberg or Levy. They didn't have a problem with that. They just said, be normal. Be like everybody else. Ufortzu chomos migdala. What does it mean? They broke down the chomot. They didn't destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They broke down the wall that said, no entrance for the zarim, for the goyim. We're all normal. Be normal. Be logical. None of this, wake up in the morning, say modeh ani, and then you wash your hands. Why do we wash our hands? Ruach ra, tumah, impurity. So if you go to the mikvah, is that good? You're now pure if you go to the mikvah?
No.
You got to do tilat yadayim. And you take a shower? No. But if you take a cup and you go one, two, one, two, one, two, heebie-jeebie, now I'm good.
Right.
That doesn't make sense, said the Greeks. That's not logical.
It's the same thing.
To some extent, yeah. Why'd they go around opening up all the jugs? Because what were the jugs when they have the seal?
Kosher.
Tahar, Kodosh. What happens when you take off the seal?
Tameh.
What did the Greeks say? Oil's oil, Habibi. Does it burn any different? Yes seal, no seal? What are you doing? Just be logical. The Gemara says, what was the halacha? Someone gets married, and on their wedding night, what happens to the woman? She first had to go with the Greek general. It wasn't that he was an animalistic. When a guy gets married, what does he say? Hareat? What's mikudeshes? Holy. What's holy? Shabbos kodesh. Rosh kodesh, it's a day of the month. What are you celebrating? I always find it quite ironic. If you were going to celebrate Rosh Chodesh and the moon, what day would you think you're going to celebrate? The 15th, when it's fullest. The Jewish people are having a big party. What are you celebrating? The new moon. You guys are crazy. What do you say? Be normal. Be logical. There's nothing there. What are you celebrating? Says the Ramban, over 90% of Jews throw away their Yiddishkeit. These guys make a lot of sense. Make a lot of sense. And everybody becomes like the Greeks. and they're walking around with their six packs, and they're being beautiful, and they're worried about the exterior, and they're worried about physicality, and everything has to have a mathematical, scientific equation. And there's a handful of Jews up in the mountains, the fanatics, the crazies, the heebie-jeebie people that are doing Brit Milah and Shabbat and kosher and holy, brainwashed fanatics. And at a certain point, they say enough's enough. They bring a pig in the Kohen, in the Beit HaMikdash, Tum'ah, the ultimate impurity. Pigs, animal's an animal. Sheep, pig, what's the difference? Cow, pig, todavar, animal's an animal. But this is holy, not holy. Give me a break. And Matatiyahu stands up, and the Maccabees stand up, and they come to the Chachamim. Yaisi ben Yoezer, right? They come to the Chachamim of those that day, and they say, are we allowed to go to war versus the Greek army? Chachamim say, are you crazy? Surely you know you're going to lose. How many of you are there? There's the five Maccabee Hashmonaim brothers and another eight rabbis. You have 13 rabbis? Do you have any army training? No. Do you have any big tanks? Right? What were the tanks of the Greeks? Elephants. Big elephants. Do you have any elephants? No. You know you're going to lose. Yeah, we know. So why do you want to go to war? We don't want to. You want to die? No, Chas v'Shalom, we don't want to die. But we're willing to die. Alts Kiddush Hashem. To show the 95% of Yidden who threw away their Yiddishkeit that Judaism is worth dying for. Because hopefully if they see it's worth dying for, they realize it's worth living for. The question is, are we allowed to halachically go to war? Or knowing that we're going to lose, is it Chas v'Shalom considered suicide? The Chachamim say we had this question 200 years ago. Nebuchadnezzar takes Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he says, you come tomorrow with all the different religions, nationalities, you bow down to my 60-foot statue. They come to Daniel, and they ask the prophet, we know that we can run away. Are we allowed to come tomorrow and not bow down? Go, run away, says Daniel. He says, no, we know we can. Excuse me, halachically, can we come tomorrow, not bow down, be thrown in the fire, and die Alts Kiddush Hashem? Says Daniel, yeah, it's halachically allowed. I recommend you run away. But they don't. And they come, they don't bow down, they get thrown in the fire, and Hashem makes an ace. And they're safe from the fire. Right? Hanukkah also, the Haftarah, is always about Yishma. The Kohen Gadol, in the fire, being saved. Not our discussion for now. And they go to war. There's something called Megillat Antiochus. You've heard of Megillat Antiochus? Goes through the war, goes through the story. And, if I'm not mistaken, Yehuda Maccabee gets killed on the first day. The elephants were amazing. You throw spears, you shoot arrows, their skin is too thick, bounces off. They were only vulnerable on the underbelly. Maybe Elazar Maccabee or Shimon Maccabee were experts at getting in, getting out. One time didn't get out quick enough, boom. Four of the five Maccabee brothers die in the war. But Hashem makes a nes and they walk into the Beit HaMikdash. And they're looking for holy oil. One that still has the seal, and they find the Pach Shemen. And Hashem makes a nes, that little bit of oil lasts 8 days and 8 nights. Why does Hashem make that nes? Why is the focus of Hanukkah the oil and the nes as opposed to the war? Is it mathematically, scientifically possible for 13 rabbis to defeat the world power? Is it possible? The odds are astronomical. It might be one in a million, one in a billion, maybe even one in a trillion. But is it possible? You tell me. Yehudi comes, she kills the general, and there was chaos until they got reinforcements. There was Balagan and the Jewish people, and they did this, they did that. Is it possible? Possible. Is it possible for a small little country that's relatively new, surrounded by four sides, by enemies, and outnumbered 10, 20, 100 to 1? And not only is a small little country that doesn't have much artillery or a big army, not only are they going to win, they're going to win the war in 6 days. Who wins a war in 6 days? Unheard of. Is it possible?
Not really.
But it happened. It's called the Six-Day War. Yeah. Is it mathematically possible for the 13 rabbis to defeat the Greek army? Possible. Odds are astronomical, but possible. Is it possible for this much oil to last 8 days and 8 nights? Is it mathematically, scientifically possible? No. Why does Hashem make that nace? Because Hashem wants to show all those Yidden, all the Jewish people who threw away their Yiddishkeit, there's going to be things out there that aren't logical. There's going to be things out there that are beyond your understanding. Just because you can't see Hashem doesn't mean he's not there. Just because you don't understand what it means to have a neshama doesn't mean you don't have a neshama or get a neshama yitera on Shabbat. Just because you can't feel the Kedusha doesn't mean that it's not there. There's going to be things that don't make sense. I was by a Brit Milah last week. You have this cute little baby, literally born a week ago. It doesn't make so much sense to me. You take this kid, you give him what seems like an unnecessary surgery. Again, you go through the ideas of Brit Milah, of course. But to the average person who doesn't know much, not logical. So why do we do the things? You wake up in the morning, it doesn't make sense to me that if I walk into a hospital and I go on the 50th floor to visit somebody, and in the basement in the morgue there's a dead body, tell me. I've been to funerals. Who's officiating? Who's running the funeral? It's a Rav. Who's a Kayin? And he's 10 feet away, and they're outside, and therefore it's okay. Does that make sense? You could be 10 feet away, and you're outside, Zeb said. And if you're in the same building, but you're on the 50th floor, oh, tell me. Not logical. Doesn't make sense to me. So how come I wake up every morning and I do Netilat Yadayim? Chanukah. Chanukah reminds me there's going to be things out there that aren't logical, that don't make sense, that are beyond our understanding. And we do them because we know Hashem exists. And this is what Hashem wants from us. And the Nevi'im that were able to talk to Hashem and do miracles, they said this is what Hashem wants. There is something called Kedusha. There is something called Nesham. Of course, there's a HaKadosh Baruch. Chanukah is our yearly reminder that there's going to be things that don't make sense. And it's always when the nights are the longest, it's always in the darkest of times that we need to have that reminder. And we need to understand, No, we're not going to let them break down. We understand we're different. It happens with oil. Why? Because oil doesn't mix. We have to understand, we think different, we look at the world differently. Goyim don't understand what it means, Kedusha. They don't have a concept of Kedusha. And if ever in the past 2,200 years, Bayamim Mahem Bazman Hazeh, we live in a world that, what are they teaching in the schools? Big Bang. Everything has a mathematical, scientific equation. And what do we need to do? We need to understand and remember, as much as this Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, they'll tell you, we haven't figured out where everything, how, where that initial particle came from that everything expanded. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the one who put certain rules of nature and science into the Bria, but he's the one who made him, he can break him. He's in charge. And no matter how challenging things might be, we understand Hashem runs the show. We've run out of time. Different time we can talk about Yosef HaTzadik and the Maccabees and understanding the connection. But what is Chanukah? Chanukah is our yearly reminder. There's going to be things out there that don't make sense. And no matter how dark it is, some people in their personal lives, with shidduchim, with children, with parnasa, with health, no matter how dark things might be, in a second, Hashem can change everything. He would have went to the Chashmonaim right before they went to war. They would have said, this is the worst time in Jewish history. Everybody's becoming like the Goyim. We're considered fanatics. We're about to go to war. Almost guaranteed we're going to lose. And chances are if we lose, that's it. There's nothing left. Another generation or two, everybody would have became a Messiah. Everybody would have bought into this Hellenistic ideology. Hashem says, I need to make that miracle because without that, there's no Yiddishkeit. Without that, we cease to exist, just like every other nace. Hashem says, I needed to show the people that there's things, there's something called an ace. There's something called a miracle. We have to understand, as dark as times are now, probably since the Holocaust, in a second, Hashem can change anything. And now's the time we daven for Nisan. We don't usually rely on Nisan. We do our ishtadlus, but of course, now's the time where Hashem makes miracles. Personally, 2 months ago, when I heard there was captives, I thought to myself, there's no way. There's no way. Either Israel is going to say 1,400, 1,600, we got to do what we got to do and just flood the tunnels and wipe out everybody and collateral damage. Or the terrorists are going to go kill them. The fact that we got anybody back, to me, nice. We wouldn't say it's a miracle where Hashem changes Teva. To me, it's an ace. We have to learn to look at the big Nisim, says Rav Shimshon Pinkus. And when you look at the big Nisim, that helps you see the small Nisim. The day in, day out Nisim that we don't consider miracles. We say, lucky, Baruch Hashem, good fortune. No, everything's from Hashem. Chanukah is our reminder. There's going to be things out there that don't make sense, and in a second, Hashem can change everything. In the darkness, understand, Hashem runs the show. So mitzvah Hashem, we'll make sure we understand Rosh Chodesh. We get to wear a keter normally. We wear our tefillin, we connect our Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can touch. Nasa v'nishma. We're different than the Goyim. 606. Goyim have Shem Asum Nanoach. We have on our tefillin 606. We connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he runs the show. You have a neshama. First thing in the morning, neshama and netilat yadayim. Doesn't make sense. Not logical. I can't feel it. I'm a simple pasha to eat. The Kedusha of Shabbos, of course it's there. We need to learn to feel it, to tap into it. And if we do that, then Be'ezat Hashem, we won't just be lighting the menorahs in our homes. We'll be back in Eretz Yisrael lighting the menorah at the Beit HaMikdash Mehabe Aminu. Amen. Rabbi Hananiah ben Kashal Meir, Atzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zechoy Yisrael, Afikha. Everybody, let's go.